Presenting the world's greatest mysteries. And now, your host.
This is Basil Rathbone. Once again, it's my pleasure to bring you an intriguing story of mystery. Today again, we have as our storyteller the young American newspaper man whose home is Paris and whose beat is Europe. Europe, a continent full of all the ingredients beloved by mystery writers and yet in reality twice as mysterious. Today's story is particularly full of suspense and yet is founded on fact. Of course, the names have been changed, but little else. There's a well-known saying that truth is stranger than fiction. Our story today is not only stranger, but more thrilling, more full of suspense than anything fiction can offer. Come with me then on another journey to the places where only a man in search of adventure would travel. In a moment, our play begins.
Presenting Europe Confidential.
Oui, Connor, I have some news for you. Old Bonique is dead.
Dead? But the doctors thought he had a fair chance of recovery.
Bonique did not die from natural causes.
What?
At 4 o'clock this morning in his hospital bed, he was stabbed to death. Well, what do you think of that, huh?
In a moment, we'll bring you Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy, the Paris correspondent of a famous American newspaper, in another exciting story in our series, Europe Confidential.
My name is Mike Conoy. I write a column called Europe Confidential for the Paris edition of a New York paper. The English have a television program called Animal, Vegetable, or Mineral. In this show, three experts try to guess the nature and origin of certain objects that are shown to them. The objects are usually museum relics, and the show is broadcast live from museums in England on the continent. Last March, it was to be broadcast from the Montard Museum here in Paris. And as there wasn't much news around, I thought I might be able to get a story from my column out of the show. To get a bit of background, I rang the director of the museum, Monsieur Gaston Dutable. He was very obliging and invited me out to his home that evening. And quite a home it was, too.
Another drink, monsieur.
Thank you very much. Well, if I may say so, Monsieur Dutable, you have excellent taste. Your home is one of the most pleasant I've seen in Paris.
I like to be comfortable.
Yeah, everything in this room seems to fit, if you know what I mean. Wallpaper, the furniture, the carpets, the paintings, the ornaments.
Merci.
I suppose you've managed to amass quite a personal collection of relics.
Oh, no, monsieur. Nothing to speak of. Really valuable pieces cost a lot of money. I am satisfied to collect for the museum.
Yeah. I find this ashtray particularly beautiful.
Merci, Monsieur Conoy. You could not have paid me a finer compliment.
Oh?
Oui. You see, I made it myself.
Really?
Pottery has been one of my hobbies for a great many years. It is a most relaxing pastime. The museum is my first love, pottery my second.
What do you know? You don't mind your museum being filled with television cameras and technicians?
No, why should I? It gives many millions of people a chance to see treasures they would not normally be able to see.
You won't actually be appearing on the program yourself tomorrow night.
Oh, no, monsieur. But I will be there to see that everything runs smoothly. It will be my job to see that all the pieces they wish to show are prepared.
Uh-huh.
I have a list somewhere here. Ah, yes. Here it is. I have not had time yet to look at it. It arrived in the mail just as a few moments before you got here.
Well, Monsieur de Tab, I guess I better be running along. I'll be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night for the television show. Good night.
Good night.
Just a routine interview, that's all. I arrived back at my apartment, poured myself a drink, read a book for a while, and at 11:30 I was just about to turn in when the phone rang. Hello. Yeah, Chief Canoy here. Yeah, I'm doing a story on the Montard Museum. Why? Burgled? When? Yeah, I'll get down there right away. Thanks, Chief. The editor told me that someone had broken into the museum, slugged one of the two night watchmen, and got away with some valuable pieces. I wasted no time in getting there. As I arrived on the scene, an ambulance was pulling away. The museum was full of gendarmes, and the officer in charge was an old pal of mine, Jacques Magan.
I might have known you'd be here, Conroy.
Hey, what is it, Jacques? Breaking, entering, an assault?
It may also be murder.
Oh?
Yeah, the night watchman, Bonique, has severe head injuries.
Oh, too bad.
I doubt whether he'll live. He was battered with quite a large piece of marble.
What did they get away with, you know?
I don't know. But two of the glass cases are smashed, and the other night watchman, Sally, says some collection is missing.
Officer, I am Gaston Dutable.
Ah, good. You are the director, huh?
Oui, oui. The gendarme called and said there had been a robbery.
Oui, that is correct. Oh,
Monsieur Canoy.
Yeah, small world, isn't it?
You two know each other?
I was over at Monsieur Dutable's home just a few hours ago, getting a story on the television broadcast tomorrow night.
Monsieur, you must excuse my appearance. I just put a coat on over my pajamas. I wanted to get here straight away. The gendarme said that one of the night watchmen had been injured.
Oui, Bonique.
Badly?
I'm afraid so.
What a terrible thing to happen. Oh, dear. Did the thieves take anything?
It looks like it.
Excuse me, please. I must see.
But why should anyone wish to break into a museum?
Why? Well, some of these pieces are worth a fortune.
Well, who could one sell them to? No other museum in the world could be approached. They would know immediately from whence the pieces came.
Yeah, I guess there are plenty of unscrupulous private collectors who'd ask no questions.
Tragedy.
What's the matter, monsieur?
You must catch the thieves, Captain. You must. They have taken the Haller collection. The most valuable pieces in the museum have been stolen.
Tab couldn't have been more upset if his son and heir had been kidnapped. He wrung his hands and almost burst into tears. However, McGarren and I managed to calm him down a little with the promise that the gendarmerie were doing their best to find the thieves and restore the missing pieces.
This, Elder collection, monsieur, what is it exactly?
A priceless find, which was made half a century ago.
Wait, oui, but what do these pieces look like?
They are exquisite examples of early Chinese craftsmanship. 3,500 years old.
But can you describe them?
Oui. There are two vases, three plates, and seven tiny figures.
Pottery?
Oui. Mm-hmm. The pieces are priceless, Capitaine. Priceless. Each one is worth 100 million francs. Unless they are recovered, the world will have lost one of its great treasures.
Oui, monsieur. Thank you. Ask Monsieur Salis to come in.
It is the fault of the newspapers. The
newspapers? Well, how?
All this talk lately about the museum, about the treasures, how much they are worth. People read these articles, unscrupulous people, and it makes them think.
Well, now, surely that's a little unfair, Monsieur Dutab.
You wish to see me, Capitaine?
Oui, Monsieur Salis, sit down, please.
Merci.
Now, will you tell me once again what happened tonight?
Monsieur Tamon. Bonique and I are night watchmen here.
Mm-hmm.
It is also our job to clean certain sections of the museum.
Oui, go on.
Tonight, I was in the Egyptology section. And Bonique was cleaning the cases in the Chinese and Indian wing.
Oui.
I heard a voice. I thought Bonique was singing or talking to himself. He did that sometimes. You know how it is with these old men.
Oui.
Then I heard him shout, and he screamed. There was a crash. I thought for a moment he must have knocked the case on top of him, and I ran to see what had happened.
How long did it take you to get there?
Oh, 30 seconds, perhaps a minute. I was right at the other end of the museum.
And when you got there?
Bonique was lying on the floor. Mm-hmm. Beside him was the piece of marble. The glass in the cases was smashed, and the collection was gone. There was blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And then you called the gendarmerie?
Oui, immediately. And that's all there is to tell, Capitaine. Will he live?
That I cannot say. I hope so.
It is a dreadful thing. Old Bonique, he was very gentle. He would not have harmed anyone.
Thank you for your help, Monsieur. You might as well go home for the night if Monsieur Dutable has no objections.
Oh, no, none at all.
How did the thief enter the museum? Have you been able to discover that?
Well, there is a broken window in the east wing. It appears he entered through that. Oui, McGowan speaking. He is. Oh, good. I'll be around there right away. Bonique appears to be recovering consciousness.
You're going to the hospital?
Oui.
Mind if I come?
I have no objections.
And I, too, would like to accompany you, Capitaine.
All right. I don't see why not. Come along.
Old Bonique was lying in his hospital bed, his head in bandages. The doctor told us we could see him for a few moments only. The old man looked as close to death as any person can get and still breathe.
Monsieur Bonique, can you hear me? I am from the gendarmerie. I want you to help me.
Gendarmerie?
Oui. Somebody attacked you tonight. Do you remember what he looked like?
They have a collection. Poor fellow.
Who attacked you? Was it one man or two?
Gendarmerie.
We are from the gendarmerie. Now, who did it? Who attacked you?
He wanted to steal a collection?
Oui. What did he look like?
The collection.
Oh, it's no use. He's delirious.
You must find the person who did this, Capitaine.
We will.
It's possible he'll talk later. The doctor says he's got a fair chance of pulling through.
I'll leave a constable here, just in case he regains consciousness. Come on. There's no point in our staying any longer.
McGarren went back to the station. Dutab went back to bed, and I knocked out my story. It was 3:30 when I'd finished. I got a few hours shut-eye, and then at 6:30 I rang McGarren to see if there'd been any further developments.
Oui, Connor. I have some news for you. Old Bonique is dead.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Not as sorry as I am. Bonique did not die from his head injuries.
What?
At 4 o'clock this morning in his hospital bed, Bonique was stabbed to death.
At 9:45 a.m., I was at the museum in Dutab's private office. McGarren was there, too. The gendarmerie officer strode angrily about the room.
Oh, that this thing should happen right before our noses.
Well, didn't you say you were going to put a guard on the old man?
And so I did. A young constable who will be dismissed for his incompetency.
What happened? Did he go to sleep on the job?
He said he went out to wash his hands or something. When he returned, the old man who had been tossing and turning was still. The constable looked more closely. In Bonique's chest, there was a knife.
You've had the knife checked for prints, I suppose.
No, of course. Not a print to be seen anywhere. Oh, it is a cheap carving knife, hundreds of which are sold weekly by a dozen stores in Paris. There is no way we can trace its origin.
What puzzles me is, how did the killer know where the old man was?
Well, it would be very simple. All the newspapers have told which hospital Bonique was in. Well, the killer just had to climb through a window and wander silently through the various wards until he found him. Where is that Salis?
He should be here any moment now.
What has happened about the television broadcast? Is he still on?
No, Capitaine. Under the circumstances, it was decided to broadcast it from the Louvre instead.
Oui?
Mrs. Alice is here, sir. The night watchman.
Send him in.
Will you go in, please?
Capitan, they say you wish to speak with me again.
That is correct.
The gendarme said the Bonita, it was murdered.
That is correct. Monsieur Salis, I want to ask you one or two more questions.
Oui.
Monsieur Dutab tells me you were not on the best of terms with Bonique.
Joel,
is that true?
We had our differences of opinion.
You also had several severe quarrels.
That is a lie.
Did you not ask Monsieur Dutab a few weeks ago if it would not be possible to replace Bonique?
Well, oui. With a younger man. Bonique was old. He was childish.
Mm. And you disliked him, even hated him?
I did not like Bonique. But hate him, no. Oh. And the quarrels we had were not severe ones, mon capitaine. They were just thieves, as you might say, over petty things.
But Bonique annoyed you considerably, huh?
Oui, at times.
Monsieur Salis, let us suppose that last night you had a poor disagreement with Bonique.
That is not true.
Let me finish. I was just supposing. And say you became enraged, and picking up a piece of marble, you hit him over the head with it again and again.
No.
And then when you saw what you had done, you became frightened. You broke a window, stole some valuable pieces, and made it look like a robbery.
That is ridiculous. I had nothing whatever to do with it. I would not kill anyone.
No. Where did you go after you left here last night, huh? After I had finished questioning you?
I went home, to my home.
Mm-hmm. Are you married?
My wife is dead.
Did anybody see you go home? Have you any proof that you did not go to the St. Clair Hospital?
I went straight to bed, but I don't think anybody saw me. I cannot prove it.
Mm.
Captain, what you're thinking is not true. I didn't kill Bonique.
I'm afraid we will have to hold you for further questioning, Monsieur Salis.
But, Captain...
You, Gendarme Dupont?
Sir?
Have Monsieur Salis taken to headquarters? Have his room searched thoroughly for the missing articles.
Oui, Captain. Come along with you.
I did not do it. I did not do it.
You really think it was him, Captain?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, it is possible. Oh. However, rest assured that we will get the truth out of him. Oh, I am going to my office for a while.
You mind giving me a lift?
Certainly. Come on.
We walked out of the museum together. At the edge of the sidewalk, something caught my eye. It was a piece of broken pottery lying in the gutter. What do you think of this?
It looks like a piece of pottery, huh?
Yeah, a pile of vase, I'd say. Look, there are a few other fragments here, too. Looks like the thief dropped the vase, broke it, and left some of the pieces behind in his haste to get away.
Oui. Come on. We will show these pieces to Dutable.
Monsieur, there can be no doubt about it. This is one of the stolen vases. And my last hopes are shattered like this vase.
Oh? Well, what do you mean?
Look at it. Broken. Lost. Lost to the world. Lost to humanity forever.
Well, perhaps we'll find the other fragments before we're finished.
I wonder if my men have searched Salis's room yet. I think perhaps we might find the rest of the pieces there.
McGarren took the broken pieces back to the police laboratory to test them for fingerprints. At least he took all the pieces except one. I kept that one. An interesting thought had crept into my head. I went to see a pal of mine, Monsieur Bailly, one of the experts employed by the Louvre. I showed him the piece of pottery, and he examined it silently for a few minutes, and then...
Very clever. Very clever indeed. In fact, One of the best fakes I've ever seen.
A fake? You mean this didn't come from the Haller collection?
No, definitely not, no. Although, much care has been taken in its making, there can be no doubt about it.
I see.
The vase from which this fragment came was made within the last century, possibly within the last few weeks or months.
Uh-huh. Now, look, tell me one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Would any expert be able to tell that this is a fake?
But of course. Otherwise, he would not be an expert.
Well, thanks very much, Monsieur Bailly. That's just about all I wanted to know. I caught a cab to the museum. Dutab was not there. He'd gone home to rest. So I went out to his home, stopping only to make a phone call to Captain McGarn on the way. Dutab opened the door in a scarlet dressing gown over blue pajamas. He looked ready to go to bed.
Well, Monsieur Canoy.
Hi.
We seem to be seeing a lot of each other these last couple of days, hmm?
Yes, I wanted to ask your advice on something.
Oh, may we? Do come in.
Thanks. See, I've got a theory on this robbery. I thought I'd get your opinion of it.
Go ahead, Monsieur Canoy.
Right. Now, say, for example, that an employee of the museum was crooked.
Oui.
And say he met somebody who was willing to buy valuable relics from him to sell to private collectors who'd ask no questions.
Oui, oui.
Now, how would he go about doing this exactly?
But he couldn't. The pieces would be missed immediately.
Right. So this person would have to replace them with clever fakes, which he perhaps made himself.
An interesting theory.
And then certain television show was to be broadcast from the museum in which experts would examine relics and try to guess their origin. Now, what would this guy do?
Well, I should imagine he would be panic-stricken.
Right, because these experts would know right away what had been going on. They'd recognize the pieces for fakes, and the cat would be out of the bag, no?
Alors?
So, the guy went to the museum, broke a window, and let himself in, even though he had a key. He wanted to make it look like an outside job. He was going to remove the Haller collection from their cases, take them away, and remove all evidence of the swap-over.
Please continue, Monsieur Conroy.
But just as he was about to leave the building, an old night watchman called Bonique saw him and recognized him. Well, there's only one thing for it. The crook picks up a piece of marble, smashes it over Bonique's head. He thought he'd killed the old man, and well, when he discovered that there was a chance of his pulling through, he went to the hospital and finished the job.
Oh, is that all you have to say, Monsieur Canoy?
Almost. It was very clever of you, Dutab.
I am a clever man.
Your hobby's been pottery for years, hasn't it? You told me so yourself. But the one mistake you made was in not recognizing that fragment as a fake.
We all make mistakes at times, Monsieur Canoy. But mistakes can be erased. Put up your hands.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
You are the only person who has worked this out, no?
Just a minute now. You can't
get
away.
Stay where you are. I will tell the police that I heard a noise in my house. I thought it was a burglar. I fired. How was I to know that it was just a reporter snooping for a story?
Look, Dutab, listen to me.
Adieu, Monsieur Canoy.
Open up!
Gendarme.
Open up.
That's right. I rang him just in case.
Oh, will you get me?
Connor, are you all right?
I'm okay. There's your killer, Jacques. He's all yours. The Haller collection is back in the museum again now. With Dutab's cooperation, they were able to trace all the missing pieces. And Dutab, he was sentenced to life imprisonment on Devil's Island. The last I heard of him, to while the time away, he was making pottery ashtrays.
Have been listening to Lionel Merton as Mike Canoy in another exciting episode in the series Europe Confidential.
This is Basil Rathbone again, and so our journey into the realms of mystery is over. Soon, however, I'll be back with more of these tales of mystery, which I know we all enjoy so much. Well, goodbye now till we meet again to listen to another of the world's greatest mysteries.